tried while required to wear prison garb at his own trial. There are, of course, the shackling cases such as Finch and Estelle v. Williams, the prison garb cases. But a defendant may make a personal decision that he or she would like to make an affirmative choice to wear a prison uniform at his or her own trial.
What if Mr. Caver had said, I want to wear handcuffs during the trial?
If he had made a choice that he wanted to be shackled or wear cuffs, this would have entitled the trial judge to then engage in a colloquy with Mr. Caver or any defendant to say, you know, why are you making this decision? And for a colloquy to take place on the record for him to waive, to make a knowing, intelligent, and voluntary waiver that, you know, do you understand you're giving up certain rights that prejudice could attach to this decision you're making? Instead, the court made this sort of summary statement.
Mr. Caver decided he wanted to wear the handcuffs. The court, after this colloquy, would be required to let him?
The court, that, you know, obviously, as Your Honors are fully aware, a trial court must make decisions to control his or her own courtroom. But these are sort of, you know, paternalistic decisions to protect, you know, accused persons from themselves. Accused persons have very little control over what's happening to them. Mr. Caver made a choice. He said, I want the jury.
You answered my question.
Sorry. Yes?
Would the court have to let him wear handcuffs if he decided?
I believe under Feltz v. Estelle, the Ninth Circuit case, yes.
And are there any limits on the attire the defendant would be entitled to wear and the restraints he'd be entitled to wear if he made a knowing waiver on the record?
If a defendant made a knowing waiver, I believe the case law says no. Under Estelle v. Williams, the United States Supreme Court case, these are designed to protect defendants from conclusions a jury may draw. The U.S. Supreme Court case said, you know, the reason that came out as it did was because the defendant, Mr. Williams, had not waived his right. He had not properly objected to being tried in prison garb. And the U.S. Supreme Court held, therefore, there wasn't reversible error. However, in Feltz v. Estelle, the Ninth Circuit case in 1989, the Ninth Circuit held a defendant as a trial tactic may choose to dress in jail clothes, and the issue is one of compulsion, the United States Supreme Court held.
Feltz is a Ninth Circuit case. There's no U.S. Supreme Court case adopting the Feltz position, is there?
Not yet, no.
Doesn't the trial court have to make sure that due process has afforded the accused some obligation to try to make it a fair procedure? It seems to me that,
of course,
we're speculating that the jury would be sympathetic to it, but isn't it just as likely that the trial court could have said, well, I think they're going to be biased against him if he's paraded around in jail garb?
Of course, but the trial court here made no findings, made no inquiry of why, made this conclusory statement that you being in a jail uniform would cause, quote, much mischief in front of the jury. There was no finding and no inquiry that Mr. Caver had conducted himself in any way that would cause alarm to the jury. Mr. Caver said, I want the jury to know that I'm in here. He had been found with residue in his pocket. He himself had called 911 for assistance. He was having mental health issues. He said, I want the jury to know that I'm in here. I'm not on the street.
Did he tell the jury that he was in jail?
No, that was not in the record.
He had the opportunity to testify and tell the jury he was in jail if he thought that was part of an appropriate defense, did he not?
He did. But controlling his appearance was part of him being present at trial, which is his constitutional right to control his appearance.
You think there's no limits. What if he wants to wear costumes? Does he get to do that?
Certainly, but does the court also have the right to control what he wears? What if the court said you're going to wear a clown suit in order to appear at your trial, or you don't get to appear? What is the limit of the trial court?
Well, don't you think there's a difference between making someone wear clothes that people traditionally do wear in courtrooms and letting people wear costumes or jail jumpsuits?
Yes, but there has to be a limit, Your Honor, respectfully. The Hawaii case...
You earlier told me there was no limit. I'm trying to press you. Where is the limit?
Indeed. The Hawaii case that I cite in my briefing, the trial court required a party to wear Western dress. The party wore native Hawaiian dress to court, and the trial court required the individual to change into Western dress in order to appear in court.
That case was reversed. Was it the defendant or was it a witness?
It was the defendant, I believe. Required the person to change into Western dress, and that was reversed by the appellate court in Hawaii. And part of the reason was because that court held whether a defendant's attire is actually the type to be, quote, fairly labeled disruptive, distractive, that's the word they use, or depreciative of the solemnity of the judicial process is a relevant inquiry. And the Hawaiian appellate court also was very troubled by a New Jersey case it cited where a New Jersey court had actually forced a female attorney to appear in a skirt because they found that distracting or depreciative of the judicial process because the female attorney was appearing in pants. I mean, I think it's a real slippery slope when you start ordering people.
Can I go into your rebuttal time?
Sure. Ordering people to appear in certain dress. We enforce dress codes. We tell people what to wear to court. And I think it's a constitutional violation. And at the very least, it's an abuse of discretion. If there are no other questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Good morning. I'm Janice Albert. I represent the state of Washington in this case. What we're talking about today is the right to be present at trial. That right is undermined when a trial court permits changes to a defendant's appearance that interfere with the jury's assessment of him at trial. No such violation took place in this case. In this case, the trial court looked at what the defendant chose to wear and what it was going to compel the defendant to wear and said, is this inherently prejudicial? Shackling, gagging, costumes, all inherently prejudicial things. A prejudicial change in a defendant's appearance is one that will continue to influence the jury's judgment, that will invite the jury to base its opinion and its verdict on what it sees in court that's not evidence, and it also destroys the presumption of innocence. None of those things happened in this case because there is nothing prejudicial about having a defendant appear in civilian clothing. This then becomes a question strictly of trial tactics and trial management. On the question of trial tactics, if the record is clear about anything, it's about this. The defense attorney wanted her client in civilian clothes. She did not make the motion on behalf of her client, but said, my client wants to address the court on this issue. I have advised him to wear civilian clothes. The court actually did exercise its discretion. Although it used the term much mischief, that's exactly it. Mischief is a good way of saying prejudice. The court said he didn't want the jury to speculate about why the defendant was dressed the way he was. It said it didn't want the jury to assume that there were reasons for him to be in jail, and it didn't want the jury to assume that he was dangerous. Those are all really valid reasons for going along with what was the defendant's attorney's trial strategy, perhaps not the defendant's personal strategy, but the defendant attorney's strategy. And the defense attorney is the one who makes tactical decisions in cases like this. The court didn't abuse its discretion when it came to trial court decorum. As this court said in its questioning or asked in its questioning, there were good reasons for why this court did what it did. To avoid speculation, to avoid prejudice, to avoid having the defendant testify, which is what he said he wanted to do, from his seat at counsel table rather than on the stand. If any error occurred, and the state is not conceding that it did, any error was obviated once the defendant took the stand and testified on his own behalf. I have nothing more to add on this issue. If the court is interested in hearing about either of the others, I'd be happy to answer questions.
The question I had was, the appellant seems to stress compulsion as the essential part of the test. How do you respond to that in terms of, doesn't that take it sort of beyond just a abuse of discretion standard?
Well, I think it's an abuse of discretion standard once we move away from the constitutional right. The constitutional issue is an issue of compulsion. But there is no constitutional issue here because there's no constitutional right to appear in a bikini or a clown suit, which is the logical extension of where we are today. There's no constitutional right to appear in inherently prejudicial clothing, whether it's comical clothing or serious clothing like a jail outfit or shackles or a spit mask. There just isn't. So we now have moved away from that. We're looking at trial tactics. If it's a trial tactic, there's a different standard, and that's an abuse of discretion. A trial tactic is within the defense attorney's purview. If that was her decision, then that decision should be respected.
Well, let's say defense counsel and client have a disagreement. Defense counsel wants client in a suit. Client wants to be there in a T-shirt and shorts. Does the court have the ability to intervene between the two of them and say you got to follow your lawyer's advice?
In that instance, Judge, with the T-shirt and jeans, I think the court would intervene and say, for courtroom decorum, I'm not allowing somebody to come in here in a T-shirt and jeans.
Doctors in an open shirt versus a suit and tie.
Okay. Does the court have... The court can inquire, and the court, I believe in most cases, must defer to the defense attorney's tactical decision, because that's a decision that she has, not the defendant. The defendant's decision is whether to testify, whether to plead guilty. He doesn't get to decide on the tactical decisions made at trial. So that would be the defense attorney's purview. And really, I think what happened in this case is it was more a case of the defense attorney saying, Judge, I've explained this to him. Would you please do the same? If we get really down to brass tacks about what was happening. And that's clear from the way defense counsel framed what she was asking the court. No questions?
Thank you.
I think, as far as tactical decisions, in response to you, Judge Trickey, this reminds me of, I believe recently the court held that it was error to give an affirmative defense over a defendant's objection. So I think if the defendant here, Mr. Caver, had decided he wanted to appear, in his jail uniform, and he was in disagreement with his own counsel, it was error for the court to overrule, as the court said, overrule his objection alone. In my brief, and I'll rest on this part of my briefing, I argued that this was an analogous situation to other scenarios in which the court tries to alter or ameliorate a defendant's appearance, as in cell hearings, forced medication scenarios. A defendant, as I said, has very little control when he's in the courtroom about how he appears. It's a violation in this situation for the court to alter or condition his right to appear at trial based on how he appears. And in this situation, Mr. Caver had a right to appear at his trial, and the court said, if you don't change your clothes, you're not appearing. If Mr. Caver had not changed his clothes into these borrowed clothes, it seems fairly clear he was not going to be able to appear at his trial.
Do you think it's right to be present? Is it due process? If we're looking at it from a constitutional issue, what is the constitutional right we're addressing?
Right to be present.
Could the court tell the defendant, for example, that he couldn't sleep through the trial?
Could not sleep?
Could not sleep. What if he put his head down and just, you know, I'm tired of this. I don't really want to be here. I just kind of want to sleep and get this over with. Something like that.
Sure. I mean, I think that's different, I think. That he should... I mean, I think we've all seen cases like that where an accused person is removed, then it's disruptive. You know, his demeanor is interfering with the proceedings. You know, someone could be warned, they're going to be removed. You're going to have to watch it from a different place. Nothing like that happened here. I think that would be different. If there are no other questions, I would ask this court to find a constitutional violation and otherwise to find the court abused its discretion.
Thank you.
Thank you.